It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and happy Friday, everyone. I'm Bill Price. The final push in Nevada.
Quite likely that Trump will chew him up and spit him out.
That is our top story at noon. Tomorrow is caucus day in the Silver State, and for Democrats running for president, yet another key test. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe gets us started this Friday afternoon.
Joe Biden is calling out Senator Bernie Sanders' past opposition to legislation that would have toughened gun laws.
He voted against it five times in the House of Representatives.
And in a state still reeling from one of the worst mass shootings in history, Biden's campaign also unveiled this ad.
I don't know that you hold a gun manufacturer responsible for what obviously a deranged person does.
Sanders has since reversed that position, and on Thursday was endorsed by the co-founders of the gun control group, March for Our Lives.
He understands the actions that must be taken to curb this issue.
Also new today, another anti-Sanders ad from a moderate Democratic group raising concerns about the health of the 78-year-old senator.
He recently just had a heart attack.
That's Ed O'Keefe on the campaign trail in Nevada ahead of tomorrow's big caucuses. Polls show Bernie Sanders in the lead, and Democrats hope to avoid a repeat of the chaos that unfolded in Iowa. Here's reporter Andrea Mitchell.
The party here deploying what it calls a caucus calculator, with volunteers using iPads and a Google-based software to count the votes tomorrow.
Nevada allowed early voting for the very first time this year, and half of those early votes were first-time voters. President Trump, meantime, set to host a Keep America Great Again rally this afternoon in Las Vegas ahead of tomorrow's caucuses. It'll cap off a four-day West Coast swing that included stops to Colorado, California, and Arizona. Russia repeat. That is the other big story at noon. U.S. intelligence officials say Moscow is continuing efforts to interfere with the 2020 election. Here's FBI Director Christopher Wray.
We certainly are seeing, and have never stopped seeing really since 2016, efforts to engage in malign foreign influence by the Russians.
At a briefing last week, congressional lawmakers were told part of the effort by Russia was getting President Trump reelected. Former South Carolina Congressman Trey Gowdy says that's preposterous.
I don't know anyone who really thinks that Russia prefers Donald Trump to win over Comrade Sanders. I don't know a soul that really thinks Russia wants Donald Trump to be the president instead of the guy that honeymooned in Russia.
Gowdy says top officials at our intelligence agencies are biased in their assessment of not just Russia, but Donald Trump.
Is this the same intelligence community that relied on the dossier? They gather information and they make assessments, and then they give those assessments, but unfortunately you give them to people like Adam Schiff, who leak like sieves. This never should have been made public, and that's why the president's upset. Not at what the intelligence community found, but the fact that Adam Schiff has a beeline to the New York Times when it's negative information about Donald Trump.
Intelligence officials reportedly gave the very same assessment on Russia to the White House, President Trump blasting the New York Times today for publishing that story. A path to peace in Afghanistan could start in a matter of hours. Correspondent Cammy McCormick is at the Pentagon.
The peace deal could be signed next Saturday in Doha. The reduction in violence will begin tonight in Afghanistan and closely monitored by the U.S. commander there. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who is traveling in Oman, made the announcement early this morning and said he hopes the Afghans will seize this moment. This could also lead to a reduction in U.S. forces.
That's Cammy McCormick reporting 5 months before the Summer Olympics set to start in Tokyo. There are new fears the coronavirus could be a hurdle that's hard to overcome.
They really botched the quarantine on the Diamond Princess, and now they released all the people who tested negative. This may be an epic mistake.
That's Asian expert Jeffrey Kingston. Homeland Security says it will now allow folks to submit documents for real ID online. It's an effort to speed things up at the DMV as millions of motorists across the country try and upgrade their driver's licenses. Here's correspondent Chris Van Cleef.
A compliant real ID will be required starting October 1st to board a plane, enter a federal building, or a military base. but many states have been slow to implement.
The potential is catastrophic.
Tori Barnes from the U.S. Travel Association says 57% of Americans really don't even know about the October 1st deadline.
It's going to be Thanksgiving, where grandma goes to get on a plane and she can't go see her grandkids.
You have to have the gold star on your ID.
TSA officers at airports nationwide are now warning flyers they won't be able to get to their flights.
Really?
Yes.
Unless they update their IDs. And states are urging people to do it now.
That's Chris Van Cleve reporting. A GoFundMe page has raised more than $150,000 for a 9-year-old Australian boy with dwarfism whose video about being bullied at school has now gone viral. That video, tough to watch. Here is the mother in the video narrating as her child buries his head into a car seat.
This is the effect of bullying. This is what it's doing. And I want people to know how much it is hurting us as a family. And this is the side that I don't choose to share. I choose to keep this private. But we can't do it anymore.
Now, tough stuff to watch there. The actor Hugh Jackman among the celebrities pledging support for that little boy. The money raised will allow him and his family to go to Disneyland. A winter storm dumping snow on millions of people in North Carolina and Virginia.
Temperatures are well below average. It feels like a winter day even in Florida today. Orlando, only 60 degrees. Is pretty chilly by your standards.
Meteorologist Bill Caron says the snowstorm just about over with. The snow started falling last night in places like Raleigh and Richmond. Still to come this Friday, Governor Cuomo's pot tour. Divorce on the decline in Pennsylvania, so too is youth hockey in Buffalo.
Well, good afternoon to all. We've got a weekend ahead that promises some sunshine and a warming trend. I'll be back with the complete forecast in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams, checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Friday, February 21st. The nation's top immigration enforcement official blasting New York's green light law. Acting ICE Director Matthew Albence was in the Albany area yesterday.
Our need to access New York State's DMV records is essential to supporting criminal investigative efforts not only in New York, but also across the country and around the world. It's unfathomably that information which could be used to prevent crime or a potential terrorist attack is purposely being withheld in this state, the same state which less than 20 years ago suffer the worst terrorist attack on American soil.
Outside of the press conference where Albence was speaking, ICE protesters were banging on windows and holding up signs supporting the green light law. This protester says the legislation is necessary to protect undocumented immigrants from deportation.
ICE already has enough access to DMV records with a judicial warrant if they are pursuing criminal acts, and they don't need unfettered access to our databases.
But Matthew Albence says restricting information from federal immigration officials puts public safety at risk.
There are those in politics who will tell you this is about illegal immigration. I'm here to tell you they are dead wrong. We are not asking the state of New York to provide us a list of illegal aliens or identify which individuals in its databases are here illegally. I don't need the state of New York to do my job for me.
The controversy has led to the suspension of the federal government's Trusted Traveler program in New York. That program allows travelers to avoid long security lines at airports and breeze through border crossings. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to legalize marijuana by the April 1st budget deadline. The Democrat says he's going to visit states that have legalized recreational pot to try and figure out what works and what doesn't.
You look at states that have legalized marijuana, many of them have generated more questions. It's one of those issues. Everybody has goals. We want a goal of social equity. We want to make sure young people can't get it. We want to make sure it has advantages to communities that have been oppressed. But then you look at the aftermath. Many of those goals haven't been met.
The governor says he'll be visiting Massachusetts, Illinois, California, and Colorado as he continues his push to legalize pot. More fallout from the decision by the Harrisburg Diocese this week to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, this time from the victims of clergy sex abuse.
They're buying time to get their house in order for a cover-up.
Sandra Forney Colano says her daughter and five sisters were abused by the diocese. She thinks the Catholic Church declared bankruptcy to avoid the issue.
They have always, over the years, found a way to put victims last.
Maybe a better way of saying it is trying to limit what they are going to pay out.
That's bankruptcy attorney Wade Parker.
It's a way that a company can just restructure and repay their debts and become viable or operational on the other side so they can continue to do business.
If you don't clear it all out, open the archives, give the survivors their day in court, you're building it back on sand.
Forney Colello says the bankruptcy filing is a slap in the face to victims of sexual abuse. SUNY Albany investigating a coronavirus-themed party. The university says a video of the party shows a bucket of Corona beers and a person wearing a surgical mask with the caption, "Coronavirus isn't going to stop anyone from partying." The university says it's looking into whether or not that party violated the school's code of conduct. Corning Incorporated feeling the effects of the coronavirus.
Production at the Corning Inc. plant in Wuhan, China remains on hold amid the coronavirus epidemic. The facility was reportedly just beginning to make display technologies for TV screens and similar products when the outbreak began. The company says its other operations in China continue under certain precautions amid the virus. More than 76,000 people have been infected and over 2,200 have died from the coronavirus worldwide, most of them in China. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. More flu deaths, but fewer confirmed cases of the flu in New York. Health officials say there were 3 new pediatric deaths last week from influenza, but the number of cases is down 17% in New York. Chelsea Rayome Nedlick with the Broome County Department of Health.
The present flu season has been a rather harsh flu season, and part of the reason for that is that we've seen a lot of influenza B this year, which is pretty rare. Typically, we see a lot more influenza A.
The flu activity still widespread in both New York and Pennsylvania. The U.S. Census Bureau says Pennsylvania is bucking the trend when it comes to divorce. The number crunchers looked at the divorce rate in all 50 states over a 10-year period, and the divorce rate in the Commonwealth well below the national average. Officials say that might be because the marriage rate is also lower in Pennsylvania than the rest of the country. Youth hockey on the decline in western New York. East Aurora Club hockey coach Tony DiFilippo says the cost of playing the sport, big reason for that.
It's definitely a pricey sport. It's probably the most pricey sport. Some of the parents, they frown on that.
Other coaches say the pressure to win also driving kids away. City Honors Club coach Peter Hurley.
I do actually see it declining a little bit, whether it's just lack of kids, lack of interest, whatever it may be. We got to find ways to just get more players involved into the game, get them on the ice and actually enjoying it. What I really preach to my guys is I want them actually having fun. I think that's something that kind of gets lost and can potentially drive people away. So if we can figure out a way to get back to the aspect of having fun, I think that would definitely help.
ESPN recently ranked Buffalo the worst city in America when it comes to kids cooling off from playing hockey. New York wants to map the genes of 1 million people living with or at risk of Alzheimer's. The ambitious project would happen over 5 years and would take place at the State University of New York. The goal here is to have SUNY schools eventually provide information to researchers who are working to slow the progression of Alzheimer's. An estimated 390,000 people in New York living with that disease. Good night to be a Philly fan. Sunny time, 2 minute drill.
Yeah, night of comebacks for Philadelphia teams. First in the NBA, down by 20. The Sixers roll past the Nets in overtime. 112-104, Joel Embiid with 39 points and 16 boards in the victory.
I'm telling my teammates, just get me the ball. And obviously, we had Alec come in. He did a great job, knocked down a few shots.
The 76ers now 26-2 at home. On the ice, another comeback. Flyers down 3-1, send it to overtime. Then
some room, Hayes, a shot, he scores! Kevin Hayes ends it in Columbus!
Kevin Hayes with the game winner against the Blue Jackets, 4-3, Claude Giroux.
Yeah, that's what we were looking to do. You know, those are big games for us. They're division games, and you can't ask for a better effort from all the guys.
The Flyers have won 7 of their last 10 games. In Toronto, Frederick Anderson had 24 saves. Maple Leafs shut out the Penguins 4-0. Anderson says they learned after their Tuesday loss in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we learned a lot from that the previous game in Pittsburgh, and I think showed today that we have
the personnel in here and the right skill sets and everything. So I think when we play like this, we can compete with anyone.
In Newark, P.K. Subban scored the go-ahead goal with a power play early in the third. New Jersey beat the Sharks 2-1. P.K.
You know, I'm happy to contribute in a way that helps our team win. I've never been a guy in my career that just looks at the numbers. I want meaningful points and to produce when the game's on the line and when things matter.
Play ball. Major League Baseball teams hitting the field this weekend. Spring training games commence in Arizona and Florida. And WBC heavyweight boxing champion Deontay Wilder set to defend his title against English challenger Tyson Fury tomorrow. The pair battled to a controversial draw December 2018 in Los Angeles. Wilder, an Alabama native, 42-0 and 1 with 41 knockouts. Fury, 29-0-1 with 20 knockouts. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
All right, Sonny, great job as usual. Still to come on this Friday edition of the Noon Report, the boys are back. Capital Connection on the way, plus MAGA hats glued to pigeons in Las Vegas. We'll tell you about that one.
While the world rightly focuses attention on the coronavirus, another plague, this one of biblical proportions, is sweeping East Africa. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. At one point in its history, most likely in the century after the return from the Babylonian exile, a swarm of locusts descended on Judah and ate everything in sight. That is, after all, what locusts do. The calamity was the setting for the prophetic oracles that are contained in the book of Joel. In the first part of that book, the prophet laments the damage done by the swarm and then calls on God's people to mourn, not only for their loss, but also for their sins. If they do, the prophet proclaims God would restore the years the locusts have eaten. Locusts and leprosy are the quintessential biblical calamities. Few of us in the West have ever experienced either of those personally. But in some parts of the world, they're more than familiar. In fact, right now, upwards of 13 million people in East Africa face famine as the result of locust swarms. Now note that I said not a swarm, but swarms, plural, some covering more than 900 square miles and containing up to 80 million individual bugs. And one day, they can consume as many crops as would provide food for 35,000 people. This current plague of locusts originated in the southern Arabian Peninsula, where heavy rainfall provided ideal breeding conditions, and then prevailing winds carry them to East Africa. From there, the locusts have spread into other areas, including South Sudan and the Turkana region of Kenya, both of which already struggling with the effects of prolonged drought. And there's more. By some estimates, if weather conditions are right, the swarms could increase by 500 times by June. Still, in the midst of all this suffering, there are lights in the darkness, such as the group Mary's Meals. Now, you might have guessed from the name that the group is named after Jesus' mother. Mary's Meals founder, Magnus McFarlane Barrow, is a devout Catholic who, before founding the group, spent years as a salmon farmer. After hearing about the refugee crisis created by the Bosnian War, Magnus and his brother Fergus drove a truck all the way from Scotland to Bosnia, loaded with relief supplies. Their initial running, or in this case driving, towards what other people were fleeing from, led to the creation of Mary's Meals, whose vision is very simple. Every child receives one daily meal in their place of education. Today, the group feeds 1.3 million children around the world, including 20,000 in Turkana. 17% of all school children in Malawi are fed by Mary's Meals. Their efforts are in stark contrast to those of the national government in places like Kenya, which are accused by critics of only thinking about crisis areas during election time. The action of Christian groups like Mary's Meals and others are pretty much all that stands between an awful lot of people and mass starvation. And that was true even before this new plague of locusts. A crisis of biblical proportions like this demands a response by God's people, specifically running into, not away from, the plague. Thank God that's what Christians have done throughout history. Thank God that's what's happening today. But what can we do so far away? Of course, we can pray. That matters a lot. And we can also spread the word. Amazingly, people can watch cable news all day, not that they should, and still not be aware of this calamity of biblical proportions. We can also urge our leaders to help those that are affected. And finally, we ourselves can be generous and support organizations like Mary's Meals and others who provide this sort of care to those who need it the most. Come to Breakpoint.org. We'll link you to them and some other organizations. Again, Breakpoint.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, the weekend is here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, the weekend is upon us, and although I don't know that it would be appropriate to get the grill out or maybe get the patio furniture in place, it is going to feel pretty nice with the expectation of some sunshine and a warm-up. There'll be a little hint of spring in the air this weekend. Don't get too used to it, though. We're still looking at a return to some wintry weather later next week. The call in the meantime for this afternoon, we're still chilly. Temperatures peaking in the mid-20s to the mid-30s with a fair amount of sunshine. We drop back into the teens tonight, clear. The weekend brings a pretty good helping of sunshine with more moderate temperatures. Tomorrow, we're at or above 40 for high. We're in the 40s on Sunday.
All right, Kevin Williams, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Michael, let's begin with you. Breaking news out of Pennsylvania. The first diocese in the state has filed for bankruptcy. That would be the Harrisburg Diocese, representing some 250,000 Catholics in 15 counties. What's your reaction to this story?
Yeah, this announcement was made by Bishop Ronald Gaynor of the Harrisburg Diocese, which has been in existence for more than 150 years. And it just points to the challenge that's facing not only the Catholic Church, but institutions across this country, like the Boy Scouts, which also the National Boy Scouts Council filing for bankruptcy this week as well, points to the devastation that comes with sexual abuse of minors, that when you think about the sexualization of our culture with porn, with you know, things like drag queen story hour and other things that are sort of pointing to the sexualization of culture, and then the cover up of it by adults just shows what can happen with this devastation. What will happen now with those who have been abused and are seeking some compensation with bankruptcy, whether it's the Boy Scouts or the Catholic diocese here in Harrisburg, remains to be seen. Boy Scouts are talking about an 80-day window in which filings can happen for future cases. With the Catholics, it's not clear yet how that is going to pan out in terms of what those who are seeking compensation for abuse will do going forward.
All right. We'll keep our eye on it. Jason, I was wondering if you could comment on a trend that we're noticing here in New York. A number of counties have flirted these Second Amendment sanctuary ideas, basically telling residents of these counties you don't have to abide by the SAFE Act. I know some sheriffs are a little wary of this. Is this an effective way to protest gun laws in New York?
You know, I'm not so sure that it is. It sends a statement, if you will, that if a county sets up a sanctuary city, that they essentially won't have to abide by the laws of the SAFE Act. But in reality, they're going to be superseded by that state law. And it puts the sheriffs in a bind, because the sheriff has to answer, am I either going to abide by this county resolution declaring the sanctuary place for the Second Amendment, or am I going to abide by the law of the land as laid out in the state law? And so there is a concern there. I would rather see the pressure applied to state legislators and to Albany. I think it's desperation is leading people to come up with these kinds of resolutions. But we've got to get engaged in the electoral process and just replace some seats in Albany with people who will uphold the constitutional principles.
All right. Well, speaking of the election, there was a story this week, Michael, about how the immigrant population in Pennsylvania, which everybody knows is such an important state when it comes to the results this year, some 43,000 immigrants have become citizens since the 2016 election. How do you think this could impact 2020?
Well, that's an interesting question. When you think about that 43,000 number, that's roughly the number that Donald Trump won the state of Pennsylvania in the 2016 elections. And so a lot of people are looking at that thinking, wow, this could swing it in a different direction. And the immigrant population is being noticed. I live in Dauphin County, central Pennsylvania, and it's among the top counties in the state in terms of seeing immigrant population increase. And the big issue is whether these new citizens will vote. The typical sort of process in terms of citizenship, they have the right to vote. but many of them don't acclimate themselves to do that, and so it may not have as big an impact as some people think.
Yeah, we would talk about immigrants in New York, this green light law controversy. Last week, Jason, the president said to Governor Cuomo at their infamous White House summit, we'll get back to you next week. I don't know if that's happened. I know that there's litigation in the works here. Is there any more clarity when it comes to these trusted traveler programs, which are in limbo now because of this green light law?
No, there isn't. In fact, we're waiting to hear from the Trump administration as to what will happen next. But you're right. People are in limbo right now. They're kind of waiting to see what the feds are going to do and, frankly, what Governor Cuomo is going to do. I imagine there's a little bit of a standoff to see who's going to blink first that's going on right now.
Yeah. And speaking of Governor Cuomo, he's spending $60 million this year to try and get an accurate headcount on this once-a-decade census. April 1st, by the way, is Census Day in New York. And, Jason, what do people need to know about the census this year?
Well, they need to know that they need to participate, you know, particularly for those of us in upstate New York. I think sometimes we're reticent to get involved. There are people that, particularly in rural areas, really don't want to engage, don't want to answer the questions, just kind of want to say, leave me alone.
Yeah.
But the reality is that if you don't participate in the census, you're impacting the federal dollars that will impact things like your schools, your fire departments, and frankly, you're giving more power to New York City. Mm-hmm. So upstate needs to have representation in the census, and I encourage people to participate in the process.
I remember when I first started in the news business here some 25 years ago, I think we had 33 congressional seats. We're down to 27. Probably will be at 26. I know Pennsylvania probably going to lose a congressional seat as well. So, folks, fill out those census forms, even if you don't want to. It matters so much. Michael, your organization made national headlines this week representing this mail carrier from the Lancaster area who is suing the post office because they're forcing him to work on Sunday. Does he have a case here?
We think he does. The attorneys here at our Independence Law Center filed this case on behalf of this mail carrier who has worked for the post office for 7 years, but his job ended when he said because of religious convictions he could not work on Sundays. Now, the post office had accommodated that. He would work Saturdays or other shifts that other postal workers did not want. But with Amazon deliveries coming, the post office changed its policy and said that he had to work on Sundays. And he simply said he could not.
Mm.
And so employers should provide religious accommodations, reasonable accommodations, and that's why we've gone to federal court on his behalf.
We love to find those victories wherever we can. In Albany this week, we saw one, well, this month, I should say, Jason. Crisis pregnancy centers, pro-life resource centers that help abortion-vulnerable women have won a legislative victory in the state Senate. Explain this important piece of legislation, if you would.
Yeah, there was a bill that was introduced by Senator Brad Hoyleman, a Manhattan Democrat, that we believed unfairly targeted pro-life pregnancy centers. That bill was coming up in the Women's Issues Committee. We asked people to contact their legislators to speak out against this. They responded in great numbers, and I'm pleased to say that at the Women's Issue Committee, Senator Hoyleman pulled his bill from consideration. But that really only happens when you know you don't have the votes. And so we believe that as people engage, use your Legislative Action Center, and reach out to legislators, the legislators pull back on that bill. It's a pro-life win here in the Empire State.
That is awesome. Keep up the great work fighting for the pro-life cause. I know you are, Michael, in Harrisburg. It won't be long before the first inaugural March for Life at the Pennsylvania State Capitol. You're expecting tens of thousands of people to show up for that event in May. Explain what will be happening that day, if you would.
Well, listeners of Capital Connection are going to be the first to hear this news today, Bob, which is that Abby Johnson, the author of the book Unplanned, the former Planned Parenthood Clinic director who became pro-life and has outspoken about that issue, will be the keynote speaker at the Pennsylvania March for Life on May 18th, 2020. She's going to be just one of a lineup of some great speakers as we make a pro-life stance in front of the Pennsylvania State Capitol. So we're excited that Abby Johnson's coming, and we hope that your listeners and many others from across the state will make plans to be with us on May 18th, 2020.
All right, we'll give that website at the end where folks can log on and learn more. Jason, before that, though, there's Legislative Day, which is a huge event that you guys put on every March at the state capitol. I think it's happening on St. Patrick's Day this year. But if folks are listening to this program for the very first time and have never heard of this, you're going to hear some great speeches from some amazing people. David Barton from Wall Builders, one of my favorite of all time. He's going to be there. But explain why this is such a priority, this one-day event in Albany.
Well, you know, similar to what we mentioned with the census a few moments ago, legislators look at this event and they look to see if my numbers are up or down. And if attendance at this event is high in an election year, they pay closer attention to what I have to say. If numbers are lower, then they say maybe the Christian community isn't as engaged and we don't have to pay as close attention. So when people are attending Legislative Day, hearing from speakers like David Barton, Michael Ferris, and others, and then also taking action on the issues we're talking about, they're sending a message to Albany that we are engaged and you need to pay attention to what we have to say. And frankly, that's the help I need right now.
All right. We'll get folks registered as best we can. All you got to do is go to a website. Jason, where can they do that?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
Learn more about the March for Life coming up in Harrisburg as well this spring. Michael, what's your site, sir?
PAFamily.org.
Friday, Capital Connection on Family Life.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, the weekend is upon us, and although I don't know that it would be appropriate to get the grill out or maybe get the patio furniture in place, it is going to feel pretty nice with the expectation of some sunshine and a warm-up. There'll be a little hint of spring in the air this weekend. Don't get too used to it, though. We're still looking at a return to some wintry weather later next week. The call in the meantime for this afternoon, we're still chilly. Temperatures peaking in the mid-20s to the mid-30s with a fair amount of sunshine. We drop back into the teens tonight, clear. The weekend brings a pretty good helping of sunshine with more moderate temperatures. Tomorrow, we're at or above 40 for high. We're in the 40s on Sunday.
We will take it. Thank you, Kevin Williams. Have yourself a great weekend. Finally, this Friday, some pigeons with red MAGA hats glued to their heads roaming around downtown Vegas. The stunt was performed by the group Putin. Stands for Pigeons United to Interfere Now. Those birds were released with the Make America Great Again hats on just ahead of this week's Democratic presidential debate. The group apparently making a sarcastic statement about loyalty to the president with the mock protest of Wednesday night's debate. But Maria Hillman with a local bird rescue group, not amused.
Glue a hat to your head. Glue a hat to your kid's head. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, we all have a right to live free from harm. It doesn't matter what kind of animal you're considered to be.
We are pleased to report today that none of those pigeons were harmed during that stunt in Vegas earlier this week. That is the world we live in for a Friday. Thanks for coming along. Have a great weekend, won't you? I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.